from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is John Lyons right now on WEEI.
You, in that same answer, you kind of raised a hypothetical in regard to the starting quarterback position. And, you know, there was, some ifs involved in regard to, Drake potentially beating Jacoby out. Do you see this as being a competition between the two of them right now as to who is going to be, the starting quarterback against Cincinnati?
I do. You know, we have three more days of training camp practices, and it's our job as coaches to evaluate. And the competition isn't over. They're still going to go out there and they have to show not only their, themselves and the coaches, but also their teammates. So it's definitely still a competition.
And welcome in to the John Lyons and Chris Scheim, or Chris Scheim and John Lyons show, however you want to phrase it. I'm John Lyons alongside Chris Scheim. That was Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo talking about the competition that wasn't, now is again, between Drake May and Jacoby Brissett. And Scheim, you and I just talked with the big dog Andy Hart himself about whether or not to start Drake May. You think they should right away. I think they shouldn't. But before we get into that, and we will get into it plenty, I found this interesting because at the beginning, Mayo said, hey, if he's better than him, he'll play. And Tommy Curran came on WEEI and said, well, in order for May to play, he has to be a lot better than Brissett, right? Not, I think blow him out of the water was the phrase Tommy used. And then it was kind of like, well, no, Brissett's the starter. And all reports from training camp, I was down there a few days myself, and all reports from other days, it's Brissett with the ones. I don't know if I saw May in 11-on-11s throw a pass to DeMario Douglas or take a single snap behind the first-team offensive line. But now, after the other night, we're here in this competition again. And I wonder, Scheim, is this something that underlying, it's been a competition all along and we haven't really been paying close enough attention? Or is this, they're, I don't want to say panicking a little, but are they backtracking where, ooh, Jacoby didn't look good, Drake May did look pretty good, maybe we were wrong and we got to open this back up?
Oh, they're 100% backpedaling. They made a mistake in the beginning. They made a mistake by outright saying Jacoby Brissett is QB1. Like, they should have come into the season, not to, rehash the past, but just like Bill Belichick would have done and said, yeah, every position is a competition. You don't say outright that Jacoby Brissett is QB1. He hasn't earned being QB1 on this team. He hasn't been on this team in, 6 years or whatever it's been now, since the last time he took a snap for the New England Patriots?
In the summer of 2017, so seven years.
Yeah, 7 years. Yeah. So, this is a whole different thing. And a guy with a sub-500 winning percentage as a quarterback, I don't even think he's ever led a winning season in the NFL on an NFL team. Like, this guy doesn't This situation is so much different than past situations. And you look at guys who did sit for a year or a couple years in Jordan Love or Patrick Mahomes, guys like that. And the guy ahead of them was all playoff quarterbacks. Alex Smith led a team to 11-5 the year Patrick Mahomes was sitting. You know, Jordan Love was behind Aaron freaking Rodgers. It's so much different than all of those scenarios because this guy who is in the building is not a playoff quarterback. He's never started a playoff game in the NFL. It's just so much of a different level of quarterback. And so for me, it's like you should never have named him QB1 in the first place. It should have always been an open competition.
And what stood out, I think, on Thursday night was not just Drake May played well. He had 47 yards passing. It would have been a lot more if Javon Baker doesn't drop that deep pass
and doesn't get shoved out of bounds right off the
multiple
rip.
Multiple times.
Yeah,
that's something, by the way. That's a sneaky big problem.
Well, that's why, as soon as I saw those two, and I go, Brandon Ayuk would have caught both of those.
Well, he at least would have got shoved out of bounds.
He wouldn't have shoved
Javon
out of
Baker
bounds, and he would have caught that one down the middle.
He was doing his Devontae Parker impression, I guess. But it was the juxtaposition of, okay, May has a pretty good night. He misses that one deep pass, which was really a drop. Would have been even a better night. And Brissett looked bad.
Awful.
And you look at it, it wasn't just the interception, which was a really bad throw. It might have been the single worst Patriots interception since Mac Jones in Germany,
yep.
Right? You know, despite all the bad turnovers they had
pretty
after
bad.
That. So it was a bad interception, but it just, they had that one drive before the interception itself. Okay, they moved down the field, but other than that, offense just didn't look great. Andy Hart mentioned that other play he had that could have been picked off. And then you have May come in, again, albeit against backups, but you give him a little time with that first unit offensive line minus David Andrews, and he looks okay. I think if Brissett had looked good Thursday night, we'd probably be sitting here saying, yeah, they'll still start Brissett, but they have something in May. I think it's just as much of Brissett did not look good as it was Drake. Because even Drake May, I mean, he overthrew Kayshon Booty. Booty made a nice catch. He fumbled his snap. He had another, I think it was his second snap. He broke the pocket way too early. So, like, he had some negative plays in there, but it was just that it felt like Jacoby had as many, if not more.
Yeah, but that, the run that you're talking about, the 5-yard run that he had on his second snap, I don't count that as a negative play. 5 yards is a positive play.
But if, like, you stand in the pocket and you complete a 12-yard pass, like, that's what
yeah,
you're
but that's
giving
a, up. That's a learning experience
sure.
thing more so than it is a negative play. Like, I'm never going to, if my quarterback, especially a rookie quarterback, decides I'm just going to pull, my first read isn't there, I'm pulling the ball down, running for 5 yards, I'm never going to be mad at that. That is positive EPA, that's positive play, that's positive everything. Like, that's never a bad decision, in my opinion. Is it, are you rushing to make that decision? Sure. And I can show you that on the tape, and we can go through and be like, hey, you give yourself 3 more seconds in the pocket, this guy's going to open up on the backside, or whatever it is. That I don't think you can count as a negative play against him. I get it. The fumbled snap, not great, but again, not David Andrews. That's not going to happen if David Andrews is in there. And then, yeah, the throw to Kayshon Booty was a total bailout by Booty, 100%. And so, was Drake May perfect? No, but he was good. And you could
see, I think
see,
he was better than Brissett, too.
Without
to
a
to
doubt.
Point, yeah.
Without a doubt. And the big thing for me is purely from a football perspective, with Jacoby Brissett, you are very one-dimensional. There are two options. It is run the football, or it's kind of 5-step, 7-step drop and the ball's coming out somewhere. That's it. With Drake May, you create so much more versatility, so many more options. Your offense can go left to right as much as it can go north to south. You can slide the pocket. You can. I think those screens become more effective with Drake May because I feel like it's just his ability to move is such an undervalued thing that nobody outside of me was really giving him credit for prior to entering training camp. Like, people don't realize he had 22 touchdowns rushing in his 2 years at UNC, starting quarterback. Like, this guy is going to be a huge red zone threat in a way that Jacoby Brissett just is not. And then in the open field, again, I understand that pulling the ball down and running right away for 5 yards isn't ideal a lot of the time, but for a young rookie quarterback learning to process what he's seeing in front of him, that's a positive play every time, and you're not going to get that out of Jacoby Brissett if all those reads are covered, right? If Brissett is just a great processor, runs through it, and all those guys are covered, like, he's not getting 5 yards out of that. He might get a yard, or he's getting sacked, or the ball's getting thrown away.
Yeah, and I think, like you mentioned, May's athletic ability. He had the rushing touchdown, and I agree. I think that's something that was undersold throughout much of the draft process. I mean, we're talking about a guy, and I just pulled it up. 449 yards rushing last year, 4 yards a carry, 653 rushing yards the year before. So it's over 1,000 yards in 2 years.
Yep.
And again, it's not, you know, he's not going to be Lamar Jackson, right?
No, but he doesn't need to be.
But he gives you, hey, it's third and four. There's a seam in the offensive line. You can pick up 5 yards, right?
Yeah.
Like that, and that, again, that's a beneficial thing. He's got to learn how to slide, though. That was another problem he had on that five-yard run he had. But again, that's something, to your point,
but he's also not Joe Milton trying to run over a linebacker.
Yeah, not ideal. Yeah, thankfully, we're not talking a lot about Joe Milton today.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was something after the first preseason game we're talking about, a lot about. But look, I think that's an Eagles team, and this really stood out at the joint practice to me when I was there. That's a team that can go to the Super Bowl. Like, they're good. And you can debate, hey, 49, but they're capable of going to the Super
Bowl.
To just how. And when you looked at them out there, especially on the joint practice field when they actually like had their starters suit up and play, bigger, stronger, faster.
Sure.
At almost every position group than the Patriots. And I think what we saw, and that's why I'm pumping the brakes a little on May, is a lot of those guys that were bigger, stronger, faster didn't play Thursday night. And I get that. And I know that's preseason and that's part of it. But when, and this was not just a May issue, this was a Jacoby issue. When they went up against those guys, it looked bad.
Yeah.
Like, offensively. And that's not just them. That's an offensive thing.
Yeah, and I don't want people to think that, like, I'm overreacting in that, like, all of a sudden Drake May is now Josh Allen. And week one in the NFL against the Cincinnati Bengals starters, he's going to go out and beat Josh Allen. No, Josh Allen wasn't even Josh Allen week one of his rookie season.
I don't
season.
Think he was really that to what, year two?
Year three.
Year three, excuse
like,
me, yeah.
You saw more flashes of it in year two. He was really good in year two. Underrated, so. But, like, year three was when he really became Josh Allen. And so I don't want people to think that that's what I'm expecting him to be right out of the gate against somebody like Philadelphia with their starters on the field. But he can compete. Like, it's not, it wouldn't be an outright disaster. If you played Philadelphia in a legitimate NFL game, offensively, it would not be an outright disaster right away. Especially against Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia's defense can be had a little bit. It's not like you're going up against Baltimore in week one. And so, like, I think Drake May would be competitive in those situations equally as much as Jacoby Brissett. And that's why, for me, it's simple. It's like, I want my rookie quarterback to get as many live reps and opportunities to see and process an NFL defense as physically possible.
Yeah, and I think these next 10 days, or the 10-day stretch you're in, where you have 10 days and you have the Washington preseason game, this is a time for me, even though, again, I would start Brissett week one, week two, week three, week four. I would. But this is a opportunity and a time. You need to have Drake May playing at least somewhat with that first offensive
line.
Has to. And also, just to your point, like, for his own development.
Yeah.
Because there's things, like little things that I looked at, like when the Patriots go empty formation, May didn't seem fully confident in what the protections were going to be in some of the practices that I watched. But then they did it a little bit against in the game against Philly, and I thought he looked a little better. Like, that's good. That's progress.
Yep.
I think you need to continue little things like that. Like, I know the under center snap, I'm sure he'll get better at, but that's something you got to continue to go on with.
Yeah,
and
for
I
sure.
just think, like, when he was at North Carolina, it was very much a, hey, we have this spread formation. You have option one, two, three, bang, bang, bang. Right? Obviously, the NFL is much. And that's where I think Brissett should be a couple steps ahead of him, right? Seeing NFL defenses, reading it. I think what we saw Thursday, though, Brissett was not a couple steps ahead.
Now, no.
Could he be? Like, I thought he was against Carolina, albeit one series each. But this Washington preseason game and these 10 days off coming up, I think is going to be an opportunity for maybe not fully close the gap on that, but it's going to be an opportunity for May to catch up.
Yeah, it just, it felt like to me, and I don't know if you got this sense either, though, like, Thursday night felt like the moment where everybody back in 2001 was like, oh, Mac Jones should start over Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Like, and it's, again, it wasn't because Cam Newton was playing poorly, like Jacoby Brissett actually is. It's just Cam Newton wasn't there.
Yeah.
Mac Jones finally had an opportunity, and he took it. And that's kind of what I felt like Drake May did Thursday night. It was more so, it's just like, oh, okay, Drake May is starting to get better. He has clearly closed the gap. And even if Jacoby Brissett, just like Cam Newton, is marginally to a little bit better, I should start the rookie and begin his development. Like, this is,
and he skips it along turf.
This is the moment where I have seen enough to know that he can compete at this level. Is it going to be perfect? No. Are there going to be mistakes? You're damn right. But it is the prime opportunity where there's some momentum from the fans behind this guy, and there's some opportunity for him to learn and develop.
And I think what Drake May's shown me, at least over the last couple months, is not only has he narrowed that gap, but I was someone that on the night he was drafted, I felt this, and I actually did a show the night after he was drafted here on EEI. I said, look, Halloween or Christmas, check in with me midseason. If he looks ready, kind of that week nine, I think that's when they play Tennessee, like that date, check in, I'll play on that. If he doesn't look ready then, after that week 14 bye right around Christmas, play him the last few games, give him some starting experience. Now, I'm looking at and saying, all right, well, check in with me week five, week six. After that. And I think that's what he's done. And I think maybe to the gap wasn't as big as people realize. Because you know how
the gap was not that big.
And like, you're a draft guy, I'm a draft guy. Like, you know how the process is. People start nitpicking.
Yeah, of course. It is. When you watch that much tape of somebody, like, you have to find the smallest things.
You have a daily show to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but no, I think, and we're going to get into this a lot
like
more.
Like, all those footwork people from draft night saw him slide up in the pocket and make that throw to Javon Baker and go, oh, maybe his footwork's not quite as bad as we made it out to
see.
Or
maybe it was something over 4 months they figured out.
Yeah, like, exactly.
That too, either like, one. Yeah,
yeah, it's like either way.
It's, yeah, but we're going to get to this quite a bit today.
Oh, yeah. We got plenty of time to get into all
this. By the way, Shime, Matt Judon was traded. We haven't even mentioned that.
Nope.
Yeah, we're gonna get into that. But coming up next, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to speak with a USA Olympian, Frederick Richard. You probably know him on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok as Freddie Phillips. He was part of the Olympic bronze medal team of the men's gymnastics. He's going to join us next, talk about not just his career in gymnastics, but his experience in Paris at the Olympic Games. That'll be coming up right after Joe Braverman gives us trending.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on WEEI, I'm John Lyons, alongside Chris Schein. We got Joe Braverman behind the glass.
Good job, Joe.
You picked up on the theme. I got you.
And right now, I mentioned it before the break, we're going to do something a little bit different on this show. Usually we're talking about the Patriots, the Celtics, the Red Sox, the Bruins. But we're going to talk a little Olympics.
Woo!
And joining us now from... Well, fresh off the Olympics, I should say, Frederick Richard, U.S. Olympic gymnast, bronze medalist. Frederick, appreciate you coming on. How are you today?
Amazing. I'm happy to be on here.
Awesome, awesome. I want to just start off, Frederick. I'm going to ask you a simple question, but probably doesn't have a simple answer. You were in Paris at the Olympics. Can you just detail us, what was it like being in that city, being part of the U.S. Olympic team, and just being an Olympian overall?
Yeah, I mean, there's a million emotions, like, all the time because so much is going on. I mean, you're representing the whole country, millions of people. You've trained for this literal one competition your whole life. Like, that's the only thing you plan for on the sports side. And then it's like, this is when it all matters, and this is where you have to trust in your training. This is when kind of all the emotions hit at once. But it's a crazy experience, and I feel like I grew so much from it. And obviously coming home with a medal is kind of like the greatest highlight, of course.
So, Frederick, John and I both grew up in this area, you know, on the South Shore, and I was really curious how you kind of got your start in gymnastics. For, you know, for me growing up, it was never, I guess, just never an option that was ever presented to me. And so, like, I see young men having so much success at this level, and like yourself, and I, you know, I know someone in my life who is really grinding at gymnastics. I'm just curious kind of how you got your start in gymnastics.
Yeah, it's a good question because, again, when you're a little kid thinking, what sport do I want to join? As a boy, you're thinking, you know, basketball, football, soccer, baseball, hockey. You know, gymnastics doesn't come into the picture for me. My sister's a year older than me, and they put women in gymnastics all the time. But we lived 2 minutes up the road from the gym, and I'd go there to pick her up. And I'm, like, 2 years old, and I see people flipping. And kind of, you're 2 years old, so you're, like, processing it as if this is supposed to be the normal thing. So I'd go home and chuck a bunch of flips and try to learn them on my parents' bed. I can still remember, like, landing on my head 100 times. Yeah, and then my parents were like, all right, he's going to kill himself. We got to put him in. So I was put in, and I stuck with it the whole time, never did another sport, just loved it from the beginning. So I've been doing it since I was 4 years old.
So, Frederick, you said you stuck with it the whole time since you were 4 years old. What's the process, though, from getting you, hey, I'm a four-year-old and I'm starting out gymnastics and I like it, to, oh, I'm on the Olympic team? I mean, what was your journey from 4 years old to Olympic team?
Yeah, I would say when you're a little kid and the coaches kind of hold your hand, of course, of trying to get you better, but and you just do it because, I mean, it's fun and you love it. I think when I kind of hit around age 10 is when I started seeing, you know, the possibilities of, you know, when I'm 20, when I'm older, I can become an Olympian. That's when I started trying to get really good. That's when the competitions started to mean something. I started liking, you know, winning and getting the medals, and a lot of people around me were supporting me. And so when I was about, say, around 10 years old, I qualified to this program called Future Stars. This is obviously the future stars of our sport. And I started going to the Olympic Training Center a couple times a year and training with the top guys in the country. I'm 10 years old, but the Olympians were training at this facility, and I'm seeing the best guys in the country, the best guys in the world. And I was like, all right, you know what? I think I can get here. You know, it's not going to be an easy path, but I want to get here. And from there, I kind of had that mindset switch, which is still young, you know, 10 years old, and you already have the mindset to become one of the best. But from there on, you just give everything every day.
So, Frederick, I know a young man, Zach, who is, you know, grinding his ass off to be the best kind of gymnast he can be. And so I'm curious from your perspective, you know, how do you, as an Olympic medalist, how do you kind of balance that grind and commitment and time that you have put in with also kind of the mental aspect of it, right? When you put so much time and effort into something like that, it can sometimes be draining and affect you mentally. And so I'm curious kind of your perspective on how you've gotten to this point in kind of that manner.
Yeah, that's definitely a great question. I think the key to it all is you have to love what you're doing and you have to do it for fun. You need to create the environments that are fun because, you know, I've trained with a lot of athletes and what sets me apart is I can be in the gym for 10 hours and I have been in the gym for 10 hours. I can be in the gym all day long and I don't get tired of it because to me, it's like, I'm just hanging with my boys, having fun while challenging myself with gymnastics. And I know people where they're in the gym for 3 hours and they're like, I got to get out of here. 4 hours. They're like, I got to get out of here. Or after 6 days in a row of practice, you know, they're like, I need to take my Sunday off. And I get it, but that's the difference between, you know, the Olympian and just someone who's very, like, pretty good at the sport. But you have to love it and create the environment where you love it. So that way it's not taxing on your mind and you can do way more than anybody else around you.
And Frederick, you were part of a men's gymnastics team that won the bronze medal. It was the first medal a men's gymnastics team won since 2008. So first of all, congratulations on that achievement. And I want to ask you, though, so the team hadn't won a medal since 2008. 2024, the team you're part of, they do. What do you think was different maybe about this team that helped kind of push you over that threshold and get you guys a medal and get on the podium?
Yeah, great question. So from a skill standpoint, I feel like the U.S. just got tired of losing. And in our generation, 4 years out from this Olympics, they started kind of trying new things of how to get us to the next level to compete with these people internationally. And that's, you know, like having more incentives for us to do harder skills when we compete and things like that. But then what really brought us together on that day, because you need to perform on that day, you know, five teams come in having the potential to medal and three only medal, of course. All of us were basically like NCAA all-stars. So in the college program, all five of us on the team have had like a lot of successes there. And we know what it's like to be on a college team, kind of, we know what it's like to compete on a team and perform really well for that team. And we basically created like all those team building strategies before the competition of getting really close. And I felt like, you know, these were my brothers when we went out there. And when we were competing, it was like, okay, this is kind of like another NCAA competition. Pressure's on, but we know how to perform when it matters. And we just did our thing.
So I have to ask, aside from the sport, one of the major storylines that we actually talked about on my morning show was that the food at the Olympics wasn't ideal. I got to know, how was the food from your perspective?
All right, I'm an honest person. The food sucked. So it's not like this food is like so bad you can't eat it, but it was the most bland food. I think maybe they were trying to like tailor to all countries and all like our different tastes. But yeah, they weren't putting salt and pepper. They weren't seasoning the food. I feel like it was the most basic meal every time. And before competition, you're like, all right, whatever. It'll fuel me. And I just got to focus on fueling so I can perform well. But you are not looking forward to it. You're just doing it because you have to.
So I mean, you're in France. It's like one of the food capitals of the universe. Were you ever able to actually get away from just the Olympic Village food and get like a real good French meal?
Yeah, so that's the crazy thing, too. I will be honest, and I feel like if the French were listening, they get mad at this. But I think a lot of the time when I left the village and I got French food, I still was very disappointed. I was like, I can't wait to go back to the U.S. But I did hear one of my Uber drivers was telling me this in France. He said, if you're eating near the tourist attractions, then the food's not going to be that good because they think that, you know, the Americans don't know what good food is. And so, you know, they just jack up the prices and serve mid food and they think we'll be happy with that. But they said, go farther out from the touristy areas and that food, French people actually know, like that's when normal French people are eating it and they know what good food is.
The local spots.
Yeah. And so I wish I had more time to try those smaller, less fancy looking places, but I didn't. So food, my whole food experience is definitely mid.
That's a bummer.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's kind of funny too, Frederick, because I went to Paris once myself and I was told the exact same thing as you, right? Get a little further away from the touristy areas and you actually have better food. So sounds like that's still the same. Now, I know the food wasn't ideal, as you said, mid, right? But you go there, you win the medal. You come home now as an Olympic medalist. You told us about the team and how it was assembled. But for you, what was it like to actually win that bronze medal with your teammates for the U.S. first time since 08 being part? I mean, just what was your emotions in that moment?
Yeah, I feel like obviously lots of excitement hits and happiness. But I feel like the strongest one is like gratitude. Like the whole time I was on that trip, I keep like, it feels like a movie, like you're getting flashbacks about your younger self and like what it was like when I'm first starting gymnastics or like how I used to just, you know, be in the gym having fun every day, struggling with the most basic skills, but having fun with my teammates and stuff. And now I'm here at the Olympics. It's like kind of feels full circle. I feel like just a lot of gratitude hits you the whole time. You know, your parents are in the crowd. You know, your old coaches are in the crowd. Every person who's ever been in your life is watching on TV. It's like, dang. It's like I'm just really grateful for everything working out, basically.
So has has life post-Olympics kind of started to change for you a little bit? Have you been getting recognized in public at all? I know one of your teammates, big-time meme, floated around the internet of him. So I was curious if kind of things have changed for you at all.
Oh, yeah, they definitely have. I still haven't gone a single place without getting recognized, which is funny because I'm, like, trying to lay low, but it's not working. I literally went to Target today to get groceries. I was trying to weave through the right aisles to not run into too many people, but then I got recognized. I was at the Patriots game, and they made me a custom jersey that says Frederick Clips on the back, and that's really awesome. Yeah, but I'm definitely just enjoying it. It's good to be back home. I haven't been back home in like 8 months because I was training for this Olympics, but yeah, now is the celebration. They're throwing a parade for me too in Stoughton. I'm like the hero of Stoughton, which is funny. So I come back, I think August 6th for a tour in TD Garden. We have a performance, all of us Olympic gymnasts. It's Simone Biles' tour, but throwing a parade before, so that's exciting. And just, yeah, I feel like I was like, everybody in Boston is recognizing me and supporting me, which is pretty cool.
Stoughton, officially home to the only IKEA in the area and our Olympic gymnast.
Yes, we are talking with Frederick Richard, U.S. Olympic gymnast, bronze medal winner. And Frederick, you mentioned the Frederick Flips jersey the Patriots made for you. That leads me to my next question. A lot of people know you as Frederick Richard, the Olympic medalist, but I think maybe even more people know you as Freddie Flips or Frederick Flips. Can you tell our audience, what is Frederick Flips? How did it become a thing, and what has it grown into now?
Yeah, I mean, Frederick Flips started as just a social media handle. I was like, what, 16 years old, and my original Instagram handle was like JimKid108. I was like, what is – and I realized, like, no one knows, like, what is this? Why do I have numbers in my name? Let me think of what my name should be. And I was like, Frederick Flips, okay, it's smooth, it works perfectly. I put it – people would actually started thinking my last name was Flips. Like, a lot of people actually think that was just funny. But, yeah, it's just grown to a whole brand of, like, obviously representing the sport of gymnastics, but with my content, it's about pushing limits and doing those, you know, crazy things and kind of having fun with your sport. But I'm thinking of maybe I might need to change my name now, make it, like, Frederick Flips Richard and just make it official.
So people know who you actually are.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel like the world wants it. I might as well give it to them.
And Frederick, you're 4 years away now from the 2028 Olympics. And a lot of times with gymnasts, sometimes their careers aren't as long as other Olympic athletes. So have you thought ahead at all about 2028, the Olympics? Are you going to do you plan on being part of that team? Are you going to try to be part of that team? Or have you just not thought about it at all and you're enjoying this moment of being a medal winner?
Oh, I thought about it. I thought about it a long time ago. 2028 has always been the peak, like the plan to be the peak of my career. I'll be 24 years old for male gymnasts. That's where the body's pretty much fully developed. That's everything. I want to reach my peak. I want to destroy everybody and get as many gold medals for the country as possible. But yeah, 100%. That's what I'm training for. And I think I'll still have another cycle after that one, so it'll be fun.
And I bet it being in the United States would be such a huge kind of boost for you, too. Be at home, be like, yeah, like, this is the one you really want to win.
100%, yeah. So I'm hungry for it, and I just know the energy, the crowd's going to be crazy, the people watching, you know, the whole country, I feel like, will be watching. I want to represent and help put us on top.
All right, he is Frederick Richard, a.k.a. Freddie Flips or Frederick Flips. You can find him not just on your TV during the Olympics, but on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, pretty much wherever you see cool gymnastics stuff going on, Frederick Richard is a part of it. Stoughton, Mass. Native. Congratulations again, Frederick, on your Olympic medal. Thank you very much for taking the time. And maybe next time come in studio, you can teach Shyman and I a few flips. How does that sound?
All right, deal.
All right, sounds great.
Thanks so much, man.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
All right, so the headline there, Shime, the food in Paris, not good.
Yeah. I got it from the source, the food, not good.
Yeah, so you can let Greg, Wiggy, and Courtney know on Monday.
Yeah, because we talked about that on, I think it was either on the news or on They Said It. Like, Olympic athletes were not happy with the food that was served. So I'm glad I got it right from the source.
Now we have further testimony.
Not from just TikTok.
Yeah, and I did find it interesting that, you know, he said, and this is true, I think, with a lot of Olympic sports. Like, we talk a lot about Olympic basketball. Obviously, the Tatum-Brown thing is a big story, but he competed against a lot of his teammates, and he kind of knew going in, hey, you know, these guys are the real deal.
These guys can play.
And
yeah.
we can do so. And it's kind of like, to me, you know, you join that Olympic basketball team and you look around, you're like, oh, LeBron, Curry, Durant, you know, they compete against each other, but they know, hey, this guy's a real deal,
yeah.
right? And I thought that was really interesting that he went into it feeling like, hey, you know, we have a chance to win a medal here because I've competed against these guys. I know what they're capable of. Now we just got to work together.
And I think for him, it's so crazy too, right? Because when it comes to the major four sports, like we have our league championships, and those sometimes feel like the NBA title feels way more important sometimes than an Olympic basketball title.
Sure.
Whereas for him, like this is the peak of his sport. Like he is an official bronze medalist at the peak of male gymnastics, and he is now, you know, an NCAA champion. And he's a bronze medalist. Like, you can only get to gold from here. That's as high as he can possibly get. And he is right there on the edge, him and his teammates. And so I think those LA Olympics will be a really cool story.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a cool story for a multitude of reasons. One, hey, it's in America. But, you know, Frederick mentioned he feels like that can be the peak of his career. Same with maybe several of his teammates. And you've got a lot of Olympic storylines beyond them. I mean, is Kevin Durant still part of the team? Is Steph Curry still part of the you know, I'm talking basketball now.
It better not be Steve Kerr.
Yeah, right. Is Steve Kerr still part of the team? You know, we'll see. I think there's a lot of, you know, is Simone Biles back for one last Olympics, or is she finally aging out? Same
yep.
Katie Ledecky. Is she back? So I think there's just so many, especially from an American perspective, so many great stories, even though we're 4 full years away, but so many great already storylines kind of setting up for that Olympics.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting. I mean, I'm excited. I know a lot of people just absolutely love when the Olympics come through. And the fact that it's going to be in LA is going to be a really big deal. It's going to be cool.
Yeah, I can't wait. Would you make the trek out to LA for an Olympics?
Probably not, and it's more so because of the I have no desire to go to LA. I hear about how bad the traffic is. I know how bad our traffic is, and I don't want to deal with worse traffic than that. So maybe it's more of an LA thing, but like if it had been in Atlanta again or something like that, I'd be probably far more primed to go.
By the way, I would say kind of glad it wasn't in Boston, because
oh,
that would
God,
have been
thank
a nightmare.
Whoever thought it was a good idea to have it in Boston, it needs to reevaluate, because it would have been an absolute bleep storm.
I don't know if I would have left my house for the 2 weeks. I would have just stayed home.
Yeah. I mean,
I've done shows remotely.
I don't. Yeah. It's just when you think about, too, like all the arenas that they have to have, like where would you have all this stuff?
Yeah.
That's just someone who speculated, like, yeah, it would be cool to see the Olympics here, not realizing all the logistics.
And the fact that the Sumner Tunnel's closed every Saturday during the summer, like that would have been a traffic disaster.
Well, they spend $20 billion on the Big Dig and I still sit in traffic? Like, you know what I mean? Come on.
Traffic in this.
You're a Rockland guy, right? You come from the South. Like, you're still sitting in traffic.
Route 3, you're sitting in traffic all the time. It's rarely ever that you're not sitting in traffic.
I know. See, we started out with an Olympian and we got ourselves back to Route 3 in the
always.
Big Dig.
It always comes back.
And Shime, I thought that was a great interview. Thank you again to Frederick Richard for being part of it. I'm looking forward, though. We have a lot more on the bone here for Patriots, Drake May,
a
lot to get to. We're going to continue at that conversation right after this break. Back here on WEEI, I'm John Lyons, alongside Chris Scheim. The Scheim and Lyons and Scheim show.
Yes, sir.
See, really, the order depends on when we're on. Because, like, Black Friday, when we were on in the morning slot, it was the Scheim and Lyons show.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the afternoon and the weekend. Because, remember, us weekenders, as you know, we're a different breed.
Different breed, yeah, I got you.
It's Lyons and Scheim, so, you know. Yeah, we got to just maybe call it Scheimans, you know? Limes.
The Lion Time?
Yeah.
We'll workshop
that.
Yeah,
we're getting there.
Yeah, we'll figure that out.
Yeah.
All I know is I need like opens made with my actual name in it, because like anytime
the one a couple weeks ago when it was like Fitzy at Heart and it was just you talking.
Yes, yeah, 100. It was the it was, because I forget why, but it was it was just me. And but multiple times now I have been on shows and we have to play opens that just don't have my name, whether I'm with you or I'm with Fitzy or I'm with Heart or I'm with KJ. I'm just
That was great, because actually I think what happened was Andy and I were down at Patriots practice.
And Andy was late to the show, 15 minutes.
Because Fitzy was off, and Hart, we had to do a 6 rings, and you know, he was a little late getting up here. And so
too busy getting Chick-fil-A.
I got to say, I did have one of those sandwiches too. But I remember I heard the whole openness. It's Fitzy. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, maybe Andy made it on time.
No.
And then next thing I hear is your voice going, that's the most deceiving opening of all time. And I just, yeah. Oh,
yeah, was, 15 minutes of Shime filling in for Fitzy and I.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we need an open, even though I have zero clout at this radio station or company. We need an open.
I mean, I can just message the guy and be like, hey, you want to put these together?
See, Joe Braverman, that's clout right there.
Yeah.
I can just message the guy.
Well, yeah, I'm an executive producer at this station, yeah, so I would hope that I have an in with the production guy.
Joe, not just a producer, an executive producer.
You're damn right. Executive producer of the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Just put CEO, like chief executive producer. Just put
chief? Do I just get that?
Yeah, okay. But in a respectful way, not the disrespectful, like, hey, chief.
No. Yeah, yeah.
Chief,
I am the CEP of the Greg Hill Show.
And that, what does that make Curtis?
Curtis is, I believe technically Curtis is just like a part of the Greg Hill Show.
So, okay, I didn't know if that would make you his boss if you were the chief.
No. Curtis, I don't think Curtis.
I mean, if you
is,
want, I was just trying to help you out.
Yeah, I appreciate that. No, Curtis is much more tenured than I am, so. Yeah,
that's true.
But yeah, no, I, you know.
Okay.
Chief, I think the only, like, other full time producers I would technically be ahead of would be Nick and Stiz.
Okay.
Well, and yeah, I don't even know, like, what the deal would be with, like, Lanny. Because, like, Lanny's been in the business for way longer than I have, but he hasn't been here longer than I have. So it's a weird thing. But you know what? We're all teammates anyways. It doesn't really matter. You don't need to have power over another.
I think I'm still going to call you chief executive producer.
I would love that.
Okay.
We'll I would that. Very much enjoy that.
Thank you. Do want to go to, we have David in the car on the line. David, thanks for calling in. What do you got for us?
Good afternoon, guys. So actually, I got a name for you guys when you're together. It's called the Lime Show. You have the L coming in from Lion and Shime at the end. You know, it's a lime show. Why
right.
not?
Lime show. Right. Okay.
Yeah, we're like a good can
squirt
of
some lime
show.
Juice on that puppy.
Yeah, we're a good can of Sprite. You know, hey, nice
you
and refreshing.
Go.
You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Acidity. Yeah. Okay.
All right, so being a native from Europe, raised there for many years and played the sport that I played there and traveled to those countries, France is overrated when it comes to food. And I remember the days when I would go to France, you know, I would go deep into the country where you guess more of a home style type of food. But even then, it's kind of blah.
But David, isn't it home to like
Europe,
the five mother sauces?
Somewhat it is, but believe it or not, you're in an area in Europe where you have your neighboring countries that have much better food. That is Italy, Spain, and Portugal.
That makes sense.
You can go into those countries. You can go into the tourist areas, and you still get the authentic food that is native to the country. You will not get the blah food. That is a guarantee.
All right, David, thank you for the call.
David played professional soccer, by the way, for those who didn't know.
Okay. Yep. And I feel like Greek food's really good, too.
Yeah, Greek food. Well, at least the Greek food I've had. And maybe it's Americanized, but I feel like I have found some truly Greek spots. I went to one down in Florida, and it was dynamite. It was some of the best food, just food, I've ever had.
You're a South Shore guy.
Yep.
You want a good pizza, Greek salad, Christo's to go in Whitman.
Okay.
Used to be a restaurant in Brockton. They moved over to Whitman.
Is that on the Awaken 180 diet?
No. Well, the salad might be. But...
yeah, I'm telling you. I've been told now. I don't
eat too
many salads.
Hey, I am in maintenance, Joe, so how dare you?
By the way, you look terrific.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I feel like every time we're on, I say that, but you know.
Yeah, you know.
You do. You know, facts are facts. But yeah, Christo's. So, we were going to spend this segment talking about Drake May. We started talking about food, of course.
That's fine. It happens.
We will get to Drake
May.
Especially
when I'm on a
program. I actually was hoping, Shime, you told me off the air, because you know you and I are somewhat golfers. Like, I suck at it, but I go once a month.
Yep.
You golf. You're probably better than me. But you said you witnessed a little incident on the golf course. Was this recently?
Yeah. So I think it was like 2 weeks ago now. I was at the old Scotland Links.
Great course, by the way.
Excellent course. They do a great job over there. They've actually, it used to be kind of hit or miss. Now it's actually in really, really good shape. Love it. So I was over there with my buddy who lives right around the corner, and then my dad and my brother. The four of us were playing, and we were getting ready to tee off on the 10th hole, and a fight almost broke out. I think it's like two holes away, like on the 13th green. It was remarkable. I didn't realize I was going to pay for a round and get a show. It was, this guy was screaming at another guy because apparently the guy around the green must have hit the guy's behind him ball into the woods. And so that guy lost it. Saw him hit the ball in the woods, lost it, came up, was screaming at him like, I've seen you drop, I've seen you play like three different balls, you've taken so many drops, you're taking forever, you're holding everybody else up, and now you think it's okay to hit my ball in the woods? And to the point where they had to have three or four Rangers come flying over in golf carts and kind of separate these guys. One of them was screaming that he felt threatened by the other one bearing a five iron. It was wild.
Felt like one of those that was brewing since hole one.
Clearly, the guys behind them felt like they were being held up at a ridiculously slow pace. And, you know, I always say if you're golfing, you need to be two of three things. Good, fun, or fast. As long as you're two of either of the three, you're fine. And so if the guys in front of you are insanely slow and they're not like, you know, five under, get the hell off my golf course.
Or just let you play through.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's just not, be courteous.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why I got to say, like 99% of the people I meet out on the golf course, awesome guys. We have fun. We joke. If you hit a ball into me, it's okay. Just apologize. We move on. It's not a big deal. I don't really care. But, you know, some people are just like on the edge. And I don't know why you're playing a sport that is so sadistic like golf. That when you're that on edge, I don't get it.
Because you're only going to get angry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I get angry at myself all the time. But my thought is if I'm playing poorly, just start drinking sooner.
Yeah.
And that's how you make sure that you have fun. It's not
that's
difficult.
That fun word. There you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, if I'm not good today, you know what? Let's have fun. And you just start drinking. Have a couple transfusions. Have a beer. Whatever your beverage of choice is. If you're not a big drinker, you know, do your weed thing. Who cares? Do whatever you want. Do your thing.
Yeah.
Just live your life.
Hole
have
three.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hole who cares? Three. That's why I love playing in like charity tournaments. Because it's just fun.
Yeah.
You're just out there having fun. Guys are smoking cigars. They're drinking beers. They're hitting shots. It's a good time.
Yeah, I got to say, I'm not a man. I'll golf like once a month or so. I don't think I've ever seen a near fight on a course.
So this is the second time.
Second time.
Yeah, oh yeah. My father and I were playing at President's in Quincy one time.
Okay.
And a guy got in his golf cart and drove backwards because somebody was yelling at him. And they were nose to nose and almost got in a fight. And it was like the hole adjacent to us. And so we got to watch it all. It was, I don't understand. Just have fun.
I know.
Like, stop flipping out.
When I go golfing, I'm like, all right, I want to have fun. I spend probably a quarter of the time admiring the landscapes.
Yeah.
It's just relaxing.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Like,
it's a nice,
the unless breeze. You're on the PGA Tour, like, what do you, like, calm down, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know what,
that serious.
Yeah. Like, if
you're not making money for this, you actually are losing money today.
Literally. You are
literally
paying to
losing
be there.
Money
yes,
today.
You yes. are, no matter what, you are losing money there. And just like, calm down, dude. You know, I don't get it. Yeah.
Because I would venture to say most of these guys getting in fights, not scratch golfers.
Yeah.
I would almost guarantee it.
Yeah. Oh, they're definitely, because I know a couple guys, I play with a couple guys that are scratch golfers. They don't get too angry on the course.
No, they have fun.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Yeah. I know. All right. See, I wanted to get to Drake May, but that was a better story.
Oh, yeah. We had to mix some things. You know, you got to mix some different things in here and there, Lions. It's okay.
That story was more entertaining than most of the preseason game.
Just like the texter says, 978 text, rate of play. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Just pace of play.
Yeah.
That's all it is. That's why they added the pitch clock in baseball.
Yep.
Just pace of play. If you have to spend more than a minute and a half looking for your ball along the woods line, just take a drop.
Yeah.
Like, make sure to buy a bulk thing of balls. You don't have to get, don't go spending $60 on, you know, Titleist Pro V1s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, those are great balls. I love using Pro V1s. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, if you're an average golfer, don't buy those. Go buy a bulk set of Nitros from Walmart or something for like, you get 48 of them for like $20. And you know what? If you lose one, it's okay. You drop another and keep playing.
Yeah. Especially again, if there's people behind you.
Yeah.
You know, something like
it's
that.
One thing if you're alone on a golf course. Like, I've done that. I play at a golf course 15 minutes from my house. It's a 9-hole course every once in a while when I just want to go, you know, get a round in real quick. And a lot of times there's not a lot of people out there, especially at the times I want to play. And so if there's nobody around, go ahead, play two or three balls. Who cares? But when it's, you know, when it's a Saturday and the course is packed to the gills, every single time slot has a foursome teeing off, just play, move along.
Yeah.
Move it along.
Because it goes both ways, right? You don't want to be held up.
Yeah. The one thing in life I hate is wasting other people's time, so please don't waste mine.
Yeah, fair enough. So hopefully the next time you go out, a little calmer.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Next time.
Oh, yeah.
But you'll have to update us.
Oh, I will. every time now I see a fight almost or actually break out on a golf course, I'll keep you posted.
I need it. I need it.
And it feels like in Massachusetts, it's just like that's a thing that will happen.
Yeah.
Especially down on the South Shore. It's just a thing that will happen.
All right. We got a lot more to get to, including more discussion about Drake May and his potential increase in snaps with the first group. That'll be coming right up next. Back here on WEEI, I'm John Lyons, alongside Chris Scheim, the Scheim and Lyons, Lyons and Scheim show.
Yes, sir.
See, really, the order depends on when we're on. Because, like, Black Friday, when we were on in the morning slot, yeah, it was the Scheim and Lyons show.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the afternoon and the weekend. Because, remember, us weekenders, as you know, we're a different breed.
Different breed, yeah, yeah,
you know,
I got
it's Lyons and Scheim, so, you know. Yeah, we got to just maybe call it Scheimans, you know, Limes.
The Lion Time?
Yeah.
We'll workshop
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Yeah, we'll figure that out.
Yeah.
All I know is I need like opens made with my actual name in it. Because like anytime.
Was it the one a couple weeks ago when it was like Fitzy at Heart and it was just you talking?
Yes. Yeah. 100. It was the. It was because I forget why, but it was just, it was just me. And but multiple times now I have been on shows and we have to play opens that just don't have my name, whether I'm with you or I'm with Fitzy or I'm with Hart or I'm, you know, with KJ. I'm just, you know.
That was great because actually I think what happened was Andy and I were down at Patriots practice.
And Andy was late to the show, right, 15 minutes.
Because Fitzy was off and Hart, we had to do a six rings and, you know, he was a little late getting up here. And so
Too busy getting Chick-fil-A.
I got to say, I did have one of those sandwiches too. But I remember I heard the whole openness, it's Fitzy. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, maybe Andy made it on time.
Nope.
And then next thing I hear is your voice going, that's the most deceiving opening of all time. And I just,
Yeah, 15 minutes of Scheim filling in for Fitzy and I.
Yeah, yeah. No, we need an open, even though I have zero clout at this radio station or company. We need an open.
I mean, I can just message the guy and be like, hey, you want to put these together?
See, Joe Braverman, that's clout right there.
Yeah,
I can just message the guy.
Well, yeah, I'm an executive producer at this station, so I would hope that I have an in with the production guy.
Joe, not just a producer, an executive producer.
You're damn right. Executive producer of the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Just put CEO, like chief executive producer. Just put
chief? Do I just get that?
Yeah, okay. But in a respectful way, not the disrespectful, like, hey, chief.
No. Yeah, yeah.
Chief,
I am the CEP of the Greg Hill Show.
And that, what does that make Curtis?
Curtis is, I believe technically Curtis is just like a part of the Greg Hill Show.
So, okay, I didn't know if that would make you his boss if you were the chief.
No. Curtis, I don't think Curtis.
I mean, if you
is...
want, I was just trying to help you out.
Yeah, I appreciate that. No, Curtis is much more tenured than I am, so. Yeah,
that's true.
But yeah, no, I, you know.
Okay.
Chief, I think the only, like, other full time producers I would technically be ahead of would be Nick and Stiz.
Okay.
I don't even know like what the deal would be with like Lanny, because like Lanny's been in the business for way longer than I have, but he hasn't been here longer than I have, so it's a weird thing. But you know what? We're all teammates anyways. It doesn't really matter. You don't need to have power over another.
I think I'm still going to call you chief executive producer.
I would love that.
Okay,
we'll I would that. Very much enjoy that.
I do want to go to. We have David in the car on the line. David, thanks for calling in. What do you got for us?
Good afternoon, guys. So actually, I got a name for you guys when you're together. It's called the Lime Show. You have the L coming in from Lion and Scheim at the end. You know, so Lime Show.
Lime Show. Right. Okay.
Well, yeah, we're like a good can
squirt some lime
show.
Juice on that puppy.
Yeah, we're a good can of Sprite. You know,
there
nice
you
and refreshing.
Go.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Acidity. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So being a native from Europe, raised there for many years and played the sport that I played there and traveled to those countries, France is overrated when it comes to food. And I remember the days when I would go to France. You know, I would go deep into the country where you guess more of a home style type of food. But even then, it's kind of blah.
But David, isn't it home to like the five mother sauces?
Somewhat it is. But believe it or not, you're in an area in Europe where you have your neighboring countries that have much better food. That is Italy, Spain, and Portugal.
That makes sense.
You can go into those countries. You can go into the tourist areas and you still get the authentic food that is native to the country. You will not get the blah food. That is a guarantee.
All right, David. Thank you
thank
for
you.
The call.
David played professional soccer, by the way, for those who didn't know.
Okay.
Yep.
And I feel like Greek food's really good, too.
Yeah, Greek food. Well, at least the Greek food I've had. And maybe it's Americanized, but I feel like I have found some truly Greek spots. I went to one down in Florida, and it was dynamite. It was some of the best food, just food, I've ever had.
You're a South Shore guy.
Yep.
You want a good pizza, Greek salad, Christo's to go in Whitman.
Okay.
Used to be a restaurant in Brockton. They moved over to Whitman.
Is that on the Awaken 180 diet?
No. Well, the salad might be.
But... yeah, I'm telling you. I've been told now. I don't
eat too many
salads.
Hey, I am in maintenance, Joe, so how dare you?
By the way, you look terrific.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I feel like every time we're on, I say that, but you know.
Yeah, you know.
You do. You know, facts are facts. But yeah, Christo's. So, we were going to spend this segment talking about Drake May. We started talking about food, of course.
That's fine. It happens.
We will get to Drake
May.
Especially
when I'm on a
program. I actually was hoping, Scheim, you told me off the air, because you know you and I are somewhat golfers. Like, mm-hmm. I suck at it, but I go once a month.
Yep.
You golf. You're probably better than me. But you said you witnessed a little incident on the golf course. Was this recently?
Yeah. So, I think it was like 2 weeks ago now. I was at the old Scotland Links.
Great course, by the way.
Excellent course. They do a great job over there. They've actually, it used to be kind of hit or miss. Now it's actually in really, really good shape. Love it. So I was over there with my buddy who lives right around the corner, and then my dad and my brother. The four of us were playing, and we were getting ready to tee off on the 10th hole, and a fight almost broke out. I think it's like two holes away, like on the 13th green. It was remarkable. I didn't realize I was going to pay for a round and get a show. It was, this guy was screaming at another guy because apparently the guy around the green must have hit the guy's behind him ball into the woods. And so that guy lost it. Saw him hit the ball in the woods, lost it, came up, was screaming at him like, I've seen you drop, I've seen you play like three different balls. You've taken so many drops. You're taking forever. You're holding everybody else up. And now you think it's okay to hit my ball in the woods? And to the point where they had to have three or four rangers come flying over in golf carts and kind of separate these guys. One of them was screaming that he felt threatened by the other one bearing a five iron. It was wild.
Felt like one of those that was brewing since hole one.
Clearly, the guys behind them felt like they were being held up at a ridiculously slow pace. And, you know, I always say if you're golfing, you need to be two of three things. Good, fun, or fast. As long as you're two of either of the three, you're fine. And so if the guys in front of you are insanely slow and they're not like, you know, five under, get the hell off my golf course.
Or just let you play through.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's just not, be courteous.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why I got to say, like, 99% of the people I meet out on the golf course, awesome guys. We have fun. We joke. If you hit a ball into me, it's okay. Just apologize. We move on. It's not a big deal. I don't really care. But, you know, some people are just, like, on the edge. And I don't know why you're playing a sport that is so sadistic, like golf, that when you're that on edge. I don't get it.
Because you're only going to get angry.
I get angry at myself all the time. But my thought is if I'm playing poorly, just start drinking sooner.
Yeah.
And that's how you make sure that you have fun. That's not that difficult.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, if I'm not good today, you know what? Let's have fun. And you just start drinking. Have a couple transfusions. Have a beer. Whatever your beverage of choice is. If you're not a big drinker, you know, do your weed thing. Who cares? Do whatever you want. Do your thing.
Yeah.
Just live your life.
Hole
have
three.
Fun. Yeah. Hole who cares? Three. That's why I love playing in like charity tournaments because it's just fun.
Yeah.
You're just out there having fun. Guys are smoking cigars. They're drinking beers. They're hitting shots. It's a good time.
Yeah. I got to say, I'm not a man. I'll golf like once a month or so. I don't think I've ever seen a near fight on a course.
So this is the second time.
Second time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My father and I were playing at President's in Quincy one time.
Okay.
And a guy got in his golf cart and drove backwards because somebody was yelling at him. And they were nose to nose and almost got in a fight. And it was like the hole adjacent to us. And so we got to watch it all. It was, I don't understand. Just have fun.
I know.
Like, stop flipping out.
When I go golfing, I'm like, all right, I want to have fun. I spend probably a quarter of the time admiring the landscapes.
Yeah.
It's just relaxing.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Like,
it's a nice.
Unless you're on the PGA Tour, like, what do you, like, calm down, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know what,
it's not that
serious.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not making money for this, you actually are losing money today.
Literally. You are
literally
paying to
losing
be there.
Money
yes,
today.
You yes. are. No matter what, you are losing money there. And just, like, calm down, dude. You know, I don't get it. Yeah.
Because I would venture to say most of these guys getting in fights, not scratch golfers.
Yeah.
I would almost guarantee it.
Yeah. Oh, they're definitely. Because I know a couple guys. I play with a couple guys that are scratch golfers. They don't get too angry on the course.
No, they have fun.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Yeah. I know. All right. See, I wanted to get to Drake May, but that was a better story.
Oh, yeah. We had to mix some things. You know, you got to mix some different things in here and there, Lions. It's okay.
That story was more entertaining than most of the preseason game.
Just like the texter says, 978 text. Rate of play. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Just pace of play.
Yeah.
That's all it is. That's why they added the pitch clock in baseball.
Yep.
Just pace of play. If you have to spend more than a minute and a half looking for your ball along the woods line, just take a drop.
Yeah.
Like, make sure to buy a bulk thing of balls. You don't have to get, don't go spending $60 on, Titleist Pro V1s. Like, those are great balls. I love using Pro V1s. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, if you're an average golfer, don't buy those. Go buy a bulk set of Nitros from Walmart or something for, like, you get 48 of them for like $20. And you know what? If you lose one, it's okay. You drop another and keep playing.
Yeah. Especially, again, if there's people behind you.
Yeah.
You know, something like
it's
that.
One thing if you're alone on a golf course. Like, I've done that. I play at a golf course 15 minutes from my house. It's a 9-hole course every once in a while when I just want to go, you know, get a round in real quick. And a lot of times there's not a lot of people out there, especially at the times I want to play. And so if there's nobody around, go ahead, play 2 or 3 balls. Who cares? But when it's, you know, when it's a Saturday and the course is packed to the gills, every single time slot has a foursome teeing off, just play, move along.
Yeah.
Move it along.
Because it goes both ways, right? You don't want to be held up.
Yeah. The one thing in life I hate is wasting other people's time, so please don't waste mine.
Yeah, fair enough. So hopefully the next time you go out, go a little calmer.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Next time.
Oh, yeah.
But you'll have to update us.
Oh, I will. I will. Every time now I see a fight almost or actually break out on a golf course, I'll keep you posted.
I need it.
And it feels like in Massachusetts, it's just like that's a thing that will happen.
Yeah.
Especially down on the South Shore. It's just a thing that will happen.
All right. We got a lot more to get to, including more discussion about Drake May and his potential increase in snaps with the first group. That'll be coming right up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.